to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining us. Today, I have the beautiful Lisa Canning. Welcome back, Lisa.
You know, it's so fun, Crystalina. I can hear you smiling as you're talking. Like, you're just, you are so fun to spend time with. So thank you so much for having me back. I love spending time with you.
You know, I was really looking forward to this and just especially the topic. So a lot of people know you as the Possibility Mom. But for those people that don't know Lisa Canning, I want you to give them just a little bit background of who you are and just your journey in life, because it's really amazing.
Oh, it's a wild, it's like a epic roller coaster, especially in the last couple of months. Well, I'm Lisa Canning. I'm a mom of 9 on earth, mm-hmm. 1 in heaven, and 1 more on the way at time of this
podcast. I didn't know that. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'm epically pregnant, like epic, like large.
How did
in
I not
charge.
Know that?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, because I'm always pregnant. It's just basically just assume that Lisa Canning is always pregnant. So I've got baby number 11 due November.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I got my start in interior design. I had the very unique and fun opportunity to be on an HGTV show right before I got married. And then my TV and media career basically increased at the exact same time as having all of my babies. So I've basically every other year had a baby, and I was building this TV and media in a secular space, like in the HGTV world. I worked with people like the Property Brothers and many other well-known HGTV style personalities. And then everything hit an implosion. Like I truly was striving to prove myself everywhere that didn't matter. You know what I mean? Yep. I wanted to show all of the TV people that you could be a happy mom with a baby on your hip and just kind of pop them out with no, you know, like no impact. And then I wanted to prove to all of my Catholic mom friends that you could be an amazing mom and pursue a career. And spoiler alert, when you try to prove yourself to others and when you kind of kick got out of the planning, so to speak, you know, I don't think I intentionally ever really did that. Like, I don't think I said God, like, no, thanks, I got this covered, but kind of, I think I did. I definitely did that when it came to my work. And so that all came to a huge implosion one day in my minivan. And I just cried out to him saying, Lord, like, you've got to show me another way, because I think you want me to use my gifts. I don't think this is about hiding them or burying them or pausing even. I just think you need to show me something different. And different he did. And then people started to notice and ask me all these questions. I turned everything I was learning in that period of messy discernment into a book, The Possibility Mom. And then it all kind of evolved into what I do today, which is coaching and writing books and content. And then most recently, I have had the very wonderful honor of taking the helm as president of the Guiding Star Project. And the Guiding Star Project is a sisterhood of pro-life, pro-woman, life-affirming healthcare. And it's so fun, Crystalina, because I was really reflecting, and it was a very big discernment process, obviously. I'm still doing my coaching in addition to this incredible new role, but I really obviously had to take a lot of discernment because I knew that this is a mountain. To change the way we view healthcare in America is a mountain. And so I did it with careful discernment. And what I kept hearing the Lord say to me was, this is what I've been preparing you for.
Wow.
All the HGTV, all the media, all the things, the coaching even, obviously, the coaching of women, the coaching of mothers. When I reflected on it, I always had this like girl power vibe. You know what I mean? Like, I've always been like, girl power, women are amazing. And, you know, anyone who is around the same age as me and maybe experienced the Spice Girls in that generation, like, you know what I'm talking about? Yes. There was just this sort of like, yay, women, girl power. But for me, when I have been reflecting on my journey and how I've gotten to this new position, it's always been around fertility. Mm. Fertility for me has been the the catalyst or the launching pad for my empowerment. And so I'm just so excited to be helping move this organization forward and helping women understand that they can find possibility in motherhood, that motherhood doesn't have to be a thing that holds them back from pursuing their interests or their careers, that there is another way when you are surrounded by both healthcare support, mental health support, spiritual support, all the support. It can be very possible for you to pursue your God-given callings. We just need some mindset and some skill set and a village, a literal village. And so that's how I'm here, Crystalina, talking to you.
Oh, I love it. There's so much in that. Oh my goodness. And this is the thing, Lisa, everything that you're saying is right ordered though, and in alignment with God's will. And you can just hear it. And that's the thing. And before, when you were with HGTV and you were proving yourself and proving yourself to the world and the secular life and the whole genre, right? Things get out of whack. You get out of whack when you are outside of God's will. And I'm serious. And I've experienced this myself when I say this, is ego is expensive, everybody. Okay. Oh, yeah. When you step into that, it is expensive. And there is a price always to pay. And you always end up on your face flat. Like, you will just fall face down and God will humble you somehow, but not out of spite or anger or to teach you a lesson. It's just like, no, you're going the wrong way. You need to kind of reel it back in, because he does have a specific mission. He does have a goal. You were made for a purpose in mind when he brought you here on this earth for such a time as this. And I love that you say that this is what God has prepared you for, because that must have been a moment in your life, because I pray on a daily, okay? I'm going to tell a little secret. I pray on a daily that I want God to transform me to become the woman that he's called me to be, so that I could fulfill his mission. And that when I die, I could stand before him and say, I did it. I did everything you asked, and I fulfilled the mission that you created me for. Because truly, Lisa, isn't that the goal?
I mean, you hope so. And here's the thing. I think, you know, just reflecting on my experience, I didn't have as many voices. So like, if you picture like a battle, okay, if you picture a battle, let's say there's like 10 people on the one side and 25 people on the other side, right? The odds of the one side that is smaller, you know, one would argue they may not win. And that's kind of when I look at my past, I'm like, that's what it was. I had 25 more insurgents, so to speak, like 25 more voices telling me, this is what success looks like. You have to drive a nice car. You have to have nice shoes. Your kids all have to go to private school. Like, it was kind of like paint by numbers. Wow. Success was paint by numbers. And it's been so interesting as I've gotten into mindset coaching training, and interesting, the people who trained me as a Catholic mindset coach, he happens to be a former, he's part of the military. I can't remember which branch. I'm so sorry, Matthew Ingold, but he was in the military, and he would always use these military, stories. And he would be like, you need to fill your brain with more counterinsurgents of the truth, you know, the truth of who you are. And so if I just think that's a very simple analogy, you know, the world is going to tell you things like you need to drive a nice car, or you need to have nice shoes, or even very, you know, I'll just reveal kind of at time of recording something we're currently going through. We are currently houseless. My spiritual director keeps telling me, you're not homeless. You're just houseless. Home is where your family is. Anywhere True. Your family is home. But I am houseless, meaning we have moved to a new location, and I had no idea how difficult it would be to find a property that we can rent to fit my family for whatever reason.
It's difficult. I know what you're talking about. Word. When we had to build this house, it's a hard thing. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and I get it. Whatever. Big That's families. A whole other story. It's a whole other story. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to take care of your house and I'll pay for it if it doesn't work. Anyways, but it's fine. So we're currently in this interesting, I keep using that word too, rather than bad. I'm trying to keep my brain positive, but we're in an interesting situation where we just keep getting denied housing. And so, yes, the nice car, the nice shoes, the like prestigious title or kids going to a great school, those are things the world will tell you, oh, those are all important. But even things like you have to have a secure home. Now, don't get me wrong. Security is important, like for our central nervous system. So I'm not trying to say I'm not pursuing a home, right? But it's been so fascinating to just dive in. Lord, what are you calling me to learn in this season of obvious detachment? Like there's obvious detachment going on here. I would prefer to have a longer term house than one vacation rental week at a time. Like be a little ideal, especially at 30 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
But what has been so interesting is that we can, the same way that you can get attached to things of the world, like nice cars, nice houses, you can get attached to things that you find secure. And what this journey has been teaching me is my security has to come only in our Lord Jesus. And please hear me loud and clear, Crystalina. I'm speaking like I'm clear-headed in this. Like it is very difficult sometimes, but that's been the lesson for me. And this goes for all the things, your career, your even family, your marriage, like anything. You could place security in it, even thinking, oh no, this is a good thing to place security in. And again, I'm not trying to say you don't look for a good house, you don't try to pursue a good marriage. That's not what I'm saying. But security, true security must ultimately come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the thing, Lisa, and just like kind of just the thought of, my goodness, I can imagine maybe for a time in your life that your identity was coming how well decorated your home was and how you presented it, right? And so,
100%.
And so it's like God's like, no. And he's kind of stripping the devil of that, of just like, you're not doing, no, it's going to be me. I'm her identity and her home will come. And I can't even wait until you get your home and the home God's going to give you, because it's probably going to be absolutely amazing when the time comes, right? But it'll be right ordered as well, as to where that was just something that had to be healed. And I've gone through that in my life too, where he takes something and I was like, oh my gosh, I was making that as a part of my identity and replacing that instead of you, Lord Jesus. So I completely understand what you're saying and what you're going through. And a lot of women don't even realize that they are making their homes or how they're presenting or their false perfection that presenting to the world is almost kind of replacing a part of the identity where God wants to give you something, right? But there's also an insecurity wrapped up in that, wouldn't you say?
Oh, 100%. And for me, it's also been a very powerful lesson in accepting generosity. So like, just for example, where I'm currently sitting right now, the house was sort of gifted. Like there will be some, we will leave them, you know, a little, we'll leave them a monetary gift for sure. But this family just heard about what happened and was like, please just use our home.
Oh.
And I was like, I can't do that. Like, it's like, I just can't do that. Like, I had all these reasons why I couldn't use their home and that I couldn't accept the gift of that offer. And all, I had just 1,000 reasons. And I can just tell you so many stories, especially from the last, this last few months of my life, of people being generous. And this has been another way the Lord has been like, you have got to accept my generosity. I'm not even going to like allow you to not, you know, because you won't have a house. it's like, you have no choice, Lisa. You're going to learn how to accept generosity from others. And that has been a very powerful experience, because my inclination is to be self-reliant. My inclination is to be like, no, I'll fix it. I'll figure something out. And again, you're not supposed to not use those talents. Like you're not, hear me loud and clear. We've been given agency, intellect. You can make things happen. Absolutely. But you've got to be detached from the outcome. And again, ultimately trust that the Lord has a big fat lesson in it for you. So yeah, absolutely.
You know, my big thing lately, and especially just going into prayer, and I'm seeing it with a lot of people, and I look back in my life how this has happened time and time again, where no matter how bad it got in my life, right, or I didn't understand it, I was being stripped of something, and at the time it hurt, but it was bad for me, right? Jesus was always trying to tell me and let me know and give me that security of, I've got you. And isn't that what everybody ultimately wants? Is that person that's going to look you in the eyes and just say, I've got you. I've got you in the good, the bad, the happy, the sad. And no matter what happens, I'm going to be the strong force for you. And I love you. And there's nothing that we can't do together. Isn't that ultimately that kind of pure love everybody wants, right? And I feel like Jesus wants to give that to all of us. And he has to teach us that in different ways that is in accordance with our different vices that he's trying to strip us of. Does that make sense?
You know, I meet with my spiritual director, bless his heart, Father Damien, because I basically just complain every single time. I feel really bad, like genuinely. Every 3 weeks, it's almost like I could play a record player. And I'll just say things like, I don't know how much longer I can take this. I don't know how much longer I can take not having a house, not knowing where I'm going to live. I'm so pregnant, yada, yada, yada. And he'll just very patiently, he'll sit there and he'll nod. And then I'll just literally say, yeah, I know. I said this 9 months ago. And he's like, and you're still here.
That's right.
You've clearly made it. But again, it's not to discount our human experience. It's not to discount the fact that challenge is hard and it's going to be hard on your central nervous system. I've had to surround myself with really good support in terms of a therapist and being able to talk through the really hard things that are happening because they are hard. But again, it's like to not, so you have to honor the human, but then you absolutely have to rely on the spiritual. But you kind of can't discount the human. Like you really do have to acknowledge this is hard. This does have a ramification on my mind, on my body. And so it's like the same way you can't just like a car doesn't magically run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can't fill like a car with orange juice. You've got to fill it with the right things. So it's the same kind of thing. It's like we have to acknowledge that the body will, stress does take a toll on the body. And so we can't negate the human side. And this is what I find so interesting about Guiding Star Project and healthcare is a much more holistic approach to health. Like, we're not going to just treat something without investigation. You know, we're not going to just give you a birth control pill because you have bad acne. It's so much deeper and holistic and looking really at a root cause. And so the body just really matters. That's another been another gift of this season is taking care of my body and doing all the things from every kind of sphere, the mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, to take care of the body that I've been given. So that's been an interesting revelation in this season.
You know, I have to say, I agree with you 1000%. And I'm just, as you're saying that, it brings up this past summer to where, okay, all my kids descend upon our household from school. And overnight, we have 8 kids at home, like 24/7. And it is a 3-ring circus around here, okay? And then on top of our ministries and travel and just family time and summer travel, but then also how habits change, how you let go of things, how you get in survival mode because you're taking care of everyone and you kind of put yourself last. And then somehow a lot of things for you never get taken care of. And then you're just shoving like Cheetos and mac and cheese in your face because you're in survival mode and you are just trying to take care of everybody's needs. Meanwhile, you're sacrificing yourself. And that's a balance. And that's something that a lot of moms, Lisa, have a very hard time with, that they really put themselves last and then they end up being miserable and then they end up like breaking down slowly and then they feel like they're weak and they can't take care of it. But if they just kind of step back and take a spiritual inventory and look at where they've broken down themselves and where their cracks have gotten in those times when they do get in that survival mode to kind of bring them back to where they know they're strong again. What tips would you have for women that are kind of like in that right now?
That women are really powerful and that you're more powerful than you think you are. Mm-hmm. And I have to give a very quick plug to your husband because we at Guiding Star Project, my beautiful founder, Leah Jacobson, we've been going through your husband's book, Male, Female, Other, A Catholic Guide to Understanding Gender.
Yes.
And, you know, when I would hear gender stuff, I don't know, I'll just be honest with you, Kristalina, I would kind of just like gloss over, like, I'd just be like, ugh, this is like what my husband loves reading about. And now that I'm in this world, I'm like, no, I'm going to like take this whole gender ideology thing a little bit more seriously. And it's to acknowledge that our makeup, like our nature as women, we are receptive. We are nurturing. And our bodies can actually take a lot. Like we can actually, in our bodies, think about it, we can conceive and bear and carry and feed life. Like whenever I think about that last one too, I'm like, wait, my body can feed another life? Like typically, or for many women, you know, your baby is exclusively breastfeeding for a while, like several months. Mm-hmm. Like you're sustaining the life. And I just love thinking about that when I am in a time of depletion. I'm like, wait a minute, my body actually was made to give, bear, carry. But again, we can't negate the human. We can't negate the fact that we like gas in a car. Like eventually we will, you know, expire. So just very quickly, central nervous system, deep breathing. And when I would hear other people talk about breathing, I would be like, this is wackadoodle nonsense. Like, no, I don't need to pause and breathe. But when you're in a moment of overwhelm, when you're staring at a kitchen that has been destroyed by like tiny little human beings, when every single room that you attempt to clean, you turn around and you try to clean something else, you go back to the first room, it's already trashed. Like when all that kind of stuff happens, that is so common in a mother's home.
Oh, wait, stop. Again. Let's say that again. That is common in a mother's home, ladies. Okay. So if you're like pulling your hair out because you clean one thing and you turn around and the explosion has happened in the other room, you just finished cleaning, is normal. So I just want to really emphasize that because women it just gets to them. It gets to me and it's a thing. So you're not alone. I'm sorry.
And just P.S. old, younger kids, it doesn't matter. Like in my humble opinion, it doesn't matter. I thought, oh, this will get easier when my kids get older.
And,
like, it does, but they also leave, they're teenagers now. So messes. They leave random messes that don't make sense. Little kids, you're like, oh yeah, you have no cerebral, like, you know, you have no self-control. You just dumped an entire box of Cheerios. But like my teenagers, I'm like, did you really have to crumble all these water bottles and put them under and just think you're just going to keep stockpiling them in this? Like, how does that make sense? My point is the inclination, if you're anything like me, if you're like a type A choleric like me, you'll walk into a room that you just cleaned, that you got this beautiful sense of control over, and then has been flipped upside down. And your instinct, your inclination, your habit might be to scream. Okay. So here's what you do instead. Everybody, again, human. This is what we do. You put your hand on your heart for a moment. And there's something about putting your hand on your heart that helps your central nervous system to calm down, and you deep breathe. Now, some people kind of push back on me when I get all body in the breathing, and I get it, you know, but do you think you can really pray when you're screaming? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's true.
When you are literally screaming and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. Like, yeah, maybe some women can jump straight into a, okay, Lord, I surrender all. Like, no, but I would say most typically you're enraged and your blood is boiling. And so just to take a moment to be like, okay, I'm getting the cortisol that's currently coursing through my body. I'm going to take a little deep breath. It's reasonable that I'm mad. And then you can go to this place of like, Lord, okay, help heal my heart, help heal me of my need for control, and so on and so forth. But again, we can't discount the body. So just deep breathing, standing in a moment, you can do it anywhere. Just put your hand on your heart and help yourself calm via your breath. And then it really comes down to thoughts. And I talk about this all the time. I'm a mindset coach. I can't help it. Our thoughts are what cause us to scream. So I even did it just there in my little imaginary situation. Like when you say like, I just got clean, look at that thought. I just got this room clean and now it's dirty again. Of course, that's going to make you feel upset. Of course, right? It's only natural. You just got the room clean and now it's messy again. Whereas I like to kind of play with my brain. Like I'm just like, oh, of course they would want to mess up a room because now there's room to play in again. You know, like it's kind of like you're just making it sense to your brain that this would happen, all with the end result. I can now peacefully deal with this and not scar my beautiful children who I love because I'm yelling at them. This may only be for the cholerics in the room, the type B, all you more gentle people don't scream when it's messy. I don't know, but I that's my natural.
So I'm going to try this because last night my kids, they were in the garage and I have bins, right, with different things and costumes mm-hmm. and whatever. And I heard them just like toppling over. And they're looking for costumes. No. So they come running in dressed up. And I'm just, you know what? I took a deep breath and I said, you know what? Tomorrow. I'll go in there tomorrow. I'm not going to go in there. Like, I stopped myself because I knew when I go in that room or I go in the garage, I know there's going to be a hot mess waiting for me. And I'm going to get upset. So I'm like, you know what, Lord? I'm just not going to go there right now. Let's just go. I have enough I need to do right now. Right. And exactly. I just am like, okay, tomorrow. So when I walk in there, Lisa, I'm going to walk in with my hand on my heart.
Yes.
I'm going to think of you. Breathe. I'm going to deep yes. breathe and I'm going to sort the hot mess out because I'm telling you right now, I already know what's waiting for me. And instead of like engaging in that moment, I just kind of diffused it and I walked away. So I'll go in there with my hand on my heart and I'm going to try this. And I think it's going to help.
And I do think, and again, I'm talking more primary people who may be more hardwired like myself. So very type A, choleric temperament, what yes. have you. What this comes down to in the end, ultimately, is self-reliance. Like what mm-hmm. this triggers is it's all up to me. I've got to clean up yet another mess. Doesn't everyone think, like, see that I work so hard for this family? Again, self-reliance, self-reliance, self-reliance. So this is where we can very, very quickly and easily be like, okay, Lord, with you, we'll clean this mess. Because I know I'm not alone here. You'll give me whatever it is that I think in my limited brain I'm lacking. So maybe I'm thinking, I don't have time to clean up the garage. I don't have energy to clean up the garage. Right now, currently at 30 weeks pregnant, I'm constantly thinking, I can't bend over. Like I can't, yes. I cannot bend over. And that might be actually logistically true, which is fine. But it's, again, it's like, think about the thought. I have no time for this. Is that going to lead you? That's only going to lead you to places of resentment. Like truly. Mm. Against people that you love. And so instead we call upon, you know, our Lord, like with you, you will increase my energy. You will give me people who are closer to the ground who can pick up things as opposed to me bending over. You can, you know what I mean? Like literally, this is what I just very quickly, I work from home. My children are at a beautiful classical school and I have two little ones at home most days. They trash the house. I'm just going to be super honest with you. Yes, they play, they have so much fun. And then I try my best. If I'm able to pick up the house before the rest of the family comes home, I absolutely try my best to. But sometimes, like we just articulated, sometimes I'll clean one room and they've already messed up the other one. So, and I try, I'm pretty strategic at this point. I do try to kind of like keep corral them. Like I clean like in one direction and I keep the side of the dirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't have any drama anymore about when my children come in the door. So my able-bodied ones, the ones that are, you know, able to bend over because I'm 30 weeks pregnant. And I'm just like, guys, I know it's a mess. I know you just got home from school. But do you think, like, honestly, if we just for 15 minutes together while I go start dinner, you guys could just go through this house? And then that's what we do. And in 15 minutes, it's done. And, you know, and I don't have any drama about it. I'm not like, oh, I should have done it before they got home. You know, I attempt to. Or like, oh, I feel so bad. They didn't make the mess. I don't have any of that drama anymore. I see it as like, Lord, you've provided me a bunch of people who can help me. Thank you. And then they do it and they contribute. So don't feel bad, ladies. If you feel bad about like equipping other people to help you, your children, your husband, it's just, this is what contribution looks like. This is how we teach our children, you know, contribution. Like you're going to be a good steward. We're going to be good stewards of what we've been given. Including our time, this house, etc.
Oh, I love it, Lisa. I love it. Okay, we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back with Lisa Canning. So stay tuned. Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining us. And for those of you just tuning in, I am talking with Lisa Canning, the Possibility Mom. And You got your, how long ago did you take your position at the Guiding Star?
I have been in this position just a few months, like maybe 3 months max. Yeah, it's brand new.
And I would like to know, because in the beginning you were talking about you just had this discernment process, right? What did that look like for you? Because a lot of women don't know how to discern or what that looks like or what a process is when it comes to discernment, right? So can you kind of walk us through what that looked like for you?
I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't say that it. So what I mean is that I would just prefer if the Lord told me exactly what he wanted. Do you know what I mean? Like, just tell me exactly what you want me to do. Don't make it any kind of mess. Like, just show me the game plan. So I would say that I approach my discernment process with a lot of brattiness, if I be very, but what it looks like for me is quiet completion. So at first I just literally, like, I sit there, if I can do it in front of, in adoration, I will just literally sit there and say, okay, Lord, what do you want? And I wait. Sometimes it's like silence for a good, 20 minutes. Like, it's just literally. And then sometimes he literally tells me. So even though I just said a moment ago that, like, Lord, make it clear, make this easy. Sometimes he does. So my natural inclination is to kind of put everything on a spreadsheet. You know what I mean? So I'll just start. And again, there's a time and a place strategy. And so, you do that where it makes sense to do, right? But then you do have to kind of put that aside, or at least I do, and just sit in the quiet and be like, okay, Lord, is this what you want? For me, it's all taking small actions. So I just sort of do things like, okay, well, let's just see what it looks like to manage a team of, the number of people I manage. So just sort of, okay, like, what does it look like to lead this team? Let's try it out. Like, it's an experiment. Discernment for me, and I encourage you, is, yeah, that quiet contemplation, but you also need a little bit of activity. And the activity then helps to inform, like, wow, this feels amazing. Like, this feels like what I was born to do. And it's not to say that if it feels hard, you shouldn't do it. But I do feel like we know, like, you do know when something just feels like, wow, this is a right fit. Even when it is difficult, I think I can learn. I can be coached. I can, increase my mindset, skill set. I've talked so much about in this episode. Like, I do pay attention to what's going on in my body. Is it helping me to calm in my central system, or am I always in a state of fight or flight? So I do pay attention to things like that, because I do think the Lord uses our responses to tell us things. And then I do rely on nation kind of principles. So just like questions. So me taking this position, will this bear good fruit? Why or why not? And just going through some of these, just, you can Google literally Ignatian discernment principles, the Ignatian discernment questions. And they're essentially questions like, will this decision bring fruit? Why or why not? Or how will this decision glorify God? Why or why? So those were really, really helpful questions for me. And then the thing that was really helpful in my discernment to become the president of the Guiding Star Project was a line that my spiritual director shared with me. And it's describing lines of influence. So he sits on, or at the time that we had, and he was one of the people that would interview priests coming into the seminary in my diocese. And four priests who would take the same gentleman, the same candidate, through a interview process. And then they would get together and look for what he described as lines of confluence. So where were things in that all four of the priests interviewing noticed? Where did, I believe the exact definition is, where did they all flow into like a central river, so to speak. So all line up. And so I just started to examine how things were lining up. Things were very, it's not coincidence. It's different than coincidence. It's more like, how are things lining up to set you up for success, to take on this new role? And when I just examined the combination of all of those things, and then at the end of the day, it's just an intimate discussion with, you know, your Lord. Just, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And you're trusting that you are hearing that correctly. That's how I discerned taking this position. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. Not easy. And that's the thing. I think sometimes people think, oh, this is really, really hard. I clearly made the wrong decision. That has to be examined really carefully. Because I do think that, obviously, like we've been talking about this whole episode, there's so much opportunity for growth. There's so much opportunity to be humbled. And I'm not going to lie, my husband and I, of course, have said to ourselves, have we made the wrong decision moving where we moved because we can't find a house? It's tempting to go down that rabbit hole of like, this is terrible and we really messed up. But at the same time, like we've talked about in this episode, what we have discerned, this has been much more about us learning detachment than us being punished or us being told that you made the wrong decision. That is careful. Like, you've got to really carefully discern that. Sometimes it requires a speaker. Sometimes it requires trusted friends who know you really well speak truth into you. And sometimes it really just comes like as a gut check with God. So not to confuse, oh, it's hard or something's not working out or doesn't seem to be working out. But again, we've just been really looking for these lines of confluence. We really believe we're meant to be exactly where. And this has all been more about stripping and pruning and learning, Crystallina, which is not my favorite, but necessary in this season, clearly.
I love it. I think it's wonderful. Now, the lines of confluence, right? Correct? Did I say that correctly?
Confluence.
Yes. That's the first time I've ever heard that before, to be honest. And basically what it is, to kind of break it down, because I like to make it ABCs for everyone listening, right? Is looking in the areas of your life where God is kind of merging everything together and opening doors versus where he's closing the doors in your life.
Yeah, that would definitely be a way to describe it. Like, to give you a very practical example, I have all this media history. I have interior design history. I now have coaching and mindset training history. I am now in the business of physical centers, physical healthcare centers, where mental health is so emphasized along with physical health, and where a large part of my job is expanding this network to 50 incredible United States. And so that needs a lot of ability, as in I need to go out there and tell people on media outlets. Do you know what I mean? And yes. Like, that's what's been so fun. And that's what I mean when I've heard just this voice of the Lord, literally, this is what I've been for. That's an example of lines of confluence.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And so many women in their life aren't sure of the direction that God is taking their life. And I see that God is really stripping and pruning and calling, calling all people to himself. I mean, in this time of Eucharistic revival, that God is really asking people to make a mindset change, to make a life change, to really get more serious about their faith and their relationship with him and the direction that their lives are going. And some people have some really big, serious decisions to make, and they're kind of frozen. So I hope this really can help those people out there that are struggling in that discernment process. And also, in your discernment process, for a time, turn your phones off. Get the device out of your hands and go and sit with Jesus. If it's in your backyard, if it is in adoration, but just get that device that we are all so addicted to in our phones and just take a break and just immerse yourself in talking with God. And maybe that means you say nothing and you're just like, God, okay, I'm here. I'm making the time. Please help me. Please speak to me. Like, I need you to help me right now. And God hears you. God is calling you. He's whispering in your heart to spend time with him. And the time is now. And maybe he's saying, go to confession so you can hear me more clearly. Today is Saturday. Go to confession. There is nothing more important than being right with God. And everywhere in the United States, in the afternoon, most churches have confession. So if you can, go to confession today. And then also think about that. And I started thinking about this. It's really interesting because I see all these teenagers. I see adults, grandmas, everybody is on their phones, Lisa. It's mm-hmm. crazy. But have you ever thought about, in what ways has my phone enabled me to sin? How is it allowing me? How am I sinning through my phone?
Yeah, that's like,
that's major.
A really sad statement. Yeah,
that is. It's so true. Like, are you being slothful and just sitting there? Are you being idle and just scrolling through social media? Are you becoming all about your body because you're comparing yourself and having disordered thoughts about how you see your body now, or how you see your image of your marriage or your husband or your kids or your life? Like, it really has a serious effect. And talk about mental health. There is some serious mental sickness coming through our phones that are affecting us, that we are bringing into our own homes ourselves because of it. It's a rot. Mm-hmm. I am seeing this rot everywhere in different ways, shapes, and form. If it's not pornography, then it's judgmental. You're being judgmental. Or maybe you're getting questioning your faith because of all the garbage that you see on social media about what's going on in the church. At the end of the day, everybody, really think about how is your phone and this little device that enables us to do so much good and communicate with so many people all over the world. But how is it also the opposite end of that hurting us? How is it hurting you? How is it hurting your families? Are you sinning because of your phone? Are you on Netflix binging sometimes because you want to just shut the world out? I mean, really think about this, because I think these phones have serious spiritual ramifications we don't even realize right now.
Blarg, 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 Crystalina. But it's very, what you say is very true. I'm ready to, just from your 60-second epitaph there, I'm ready to ditch all my social media channels. But, you know, I do want to share on the topic of confession and sin, you know, so Leah Jacobson, the founder of the Guiding Star Project, I'm very grateful to her for entrusting me to take the helm of this organization. And in a moment of vulnerability, we were at coffee in her hometown in Minnesota. And I was like, oh gosh, like, you really think I can do this? Like, I was kind of just like, you really can do this? This is a huge job. And she made me promise one thing. She was like, Lisa, honestly, this is all I'm going to ask you to promise me. That you, while you're in this position, as much in a state of grace. And wow. I was like, that is, talk about boss, you know what I mean? Like, talk about, you know, boss girl or whatever, like mom boss, like, I was truly like, that is the kind of boss, all the things that you want. And I have etched those words really like in my brain, as much as possible, as much as I can remain in a state of grace. And when you think about it, that's your recipe for success. Like, really, like, your ability to be self truly, to be that vessel, that conduit, to be that vessel of the heart and then impact the world, however we're all supposed to do it, whether it's at home or in your parish, it all begins from this state of grace. That's like, that's a pretty good baseline piece of advice.
That's major. That's major. Yeah. I think that's wonderful. And some people could say, well, what the state of my soul and if my soul is in the state of grace or not is none of your business. But at the same time, if you're in the business of God's business, it kind of is going to affect a lot. And people think, oh, it's not, and that you can separate the two. But you really actually can't, because what's going on interiorly will come out exteriorly, right? In our actions and our thoughts and what we're doing. So it matters. It holds weight in heaven, and it holds weight here, the decisions that we make in our life. And it does affect our daily lives more than we realize. And a lot of people don't want to think that way because they're not in the state of grace. And that's hard for them to look at themselves in that light. But at the same time, that's straight out truth. That is straight out truth. And where are you at right now? So my advice is, everybody, if you can, get to confess. confession today, you know, and I'm going to go myself. So I never say anything that I am not doing myself or expect of myself. So Lisa, women right now that are just like I know so many women right now that are ready to have babies. It's unbelievable. And so I want you to speak to those pregnant moms right now that are exactly where you're at. Cause I know a few women and my sister just had a baby. Oh, I love him. He's so cute. And it was a couple weeks ago, but wow, that was some business, some serious business. But even she's going through that thick of it. I'm just like, you've got to find that mom strong to where you just feel totally depleted and all these little ones are expecting so much of you and your household. And you're just like, oh my gosh, can I do this? And we all have that mom strong within us. If you think you have it or feel like you don't, it's there, ladies. But what advice do you have for women that are in your shoes right now?
Your body was made for this. Like your body was literally, as a woman, you were made to conceive. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with this concept. We're literally made to do this as a woman. You know, okay, so I'm at time of this recording, I'm 39 years old. This is my 11th pregnancy.
Wow.
When I was younger, I would look at moms like me. So women who were approaching their 40s, and I would be like, I am doing that. There is no way I'm signing up for that. And lo and behold, here I am. Share that because, of course, something unknown, something you've never gone through before is, of course, going to be scary. I thought this when I had 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep. I remember those first four, very like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going to voluntarily sign up to have more. But I just, in my experience, and I know I'm not totally unique in it, is just that God will give you, if this is his desire for you, because he's what makes everything happen, right? So if this is his desire for you, he will give you whatever it is that you need. So whether it is more money or more time or more physical energy or, you know, again, a house. Like it's all coming. It's all coming because he does not forget about his people. He's
right.
Not just like cast you off and be like, yeah, here, go survive with a bunch of kids. Like, no, all of this is for your benefit. When you are living with God's will, when you are in a state of grace, when you are, and your conscience, that's the other thing that's so interesting. We haven't really talked. That's maybe another podcast episode. It's just the role of the conscience in this. Like you do have to, again, part of the discernment is checking in. Can I do this in good conscience? Anyway, but just you're a lot stronger than you know. So for those of you who have got, you know, babies, sleepless, you are a lot stronger than you know. Your thoughts can impact things more than maybe you think. That's my favorite thing to share with moms. Just pay attention to what you're saying to yourself. If you're saying to yourself constantly, there's no way I do this, or I will never feel like myself again, what do you think the brain's going to do? It's definitely not going to help you out, right? And it doesn't mean you don't go and ask for help. It doesn't mean you don't go and express how you're struggling or how things are challenging. But what it means is we just pay attention. Are we putting ourselves, it's like when you think of like chemistry, when you think of trying to grow something in a petri dish that has a good condition, like a good chemical balance.
Mm-hmm.
If you put yourself up for failure by constantly thinking, there's no way I can do this. I could never do this. I'm not going to survive the day. And yet, lo and behold, what do? Every day we survive.
Sometimes
it's prettier. It's prettier some days. It's a little bit more graceful. But it's just survival. But especially this experience of living in kind of houselessness, like literally leaving residences constantly. And yes, telling myself, I cannot do this anymore. And yet I'm still here. Like,
that's
it's
right.
Like, just pay attention to that. Inform yourself of what is actually true. So again, on a very practical level, just inform yourself what is actually true. It is true. I am with a great man. It is true that I've got kids on earth who are amazing helpers. It is true that I have food in my fridge, I might not own my fridge, but that's okay. There is food in a fridge that I can give my children, and so on and so forth. Inform yourselves of those truths as opposed to the lack, and just see what happens to your brain.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's something so simple that anyone could do right now after the show is over and change their mindset on that one thing where they are just like beating themselves up and just turn that around, right? And also, ladies, for those of you that may have my Women Made New book, in the back, there are inspiration scriptures, okay? It's just this inspiration from scripture that I pulled of different areas in your life that you may struggle with. And these are areas that I may have struggled with, or my friends, or I've saw in my family struggle with themselves, of maybe loneliness or worry or inadequacy or anger, fear. If you need courage, or you're having issues with spiritual growth, your confidence, whatever it is, I pulled some of my favorite scriptures and I put them in the back of Women Made New. And ladies, if you can do anything this week, memorize one scripture, a one-liner, that in those times where you're like, oh my gosh, this is so much, this is too much, I can't do this. Don't fall into that demonic spiral, you know, that the devil wants to get you into, but have that one Bible verse that you say to yourself over and over and over. And that has helped me. And in my own struggles, in my own, and also through that, I'm memorizing different little scriptures that honestly have become weapons over time in my own spiritual growth in my life. So I would really encourage you, use the Bible. It is one of the weapons of the church that God has given us, and it is His word, and use it to counter the lies that the devil is telling you. And something so simple as just one small Bible passage, whatever it is, right? And I have them up in my bathroom. I have them on my refrigerator. I've got them all over the house for the kids. And subconsciously, they're seeing those on a daily, right? And if they know it or not, they're memorizing them as they see them every single day. When they open that refrigerator, when they come into mommy's bathroom, like those scripture verses are there. And then even when they're older, if they see that, they're going to remember, oh, my mom used to have that up in the house. I remember that. But I'm also weaponizing my children and myself in the word of God. So just get those one liner passages that you may love and put it all over your house. Just memorize it. Say it out loud in the car with your kids driving, instead of yelling or getting mad. Just say that just over and over, or whisper it, or whatever you need to do. But that's something that I have learned to do that's helped me greatly in those times.
Do you
want to
know
distress.
Mine right now?
Yes,
do you
I would
know
love mine? To.
And forgive me, I might be paraphrasing. I sometimes don't memorize it. Or, you know, I try to memorize it, but then I, you know, make a mistake in the memorization. So maybe I don't have it exactly right. But I walk by faith and not by sight.
Boom. There you go. See, something like that, ladies, right there. That is it. Lisa, we are coming to a close, and it came so fast. Oh my goodness. And I am going to have you on again. But when women are wanting to learn more about you and just everything you've got going on, and there's so much, and you're always doing such amazing, fabulous things, where can they find you?
I would love for people to visit guidingstarproject.com, where you can learn more about our hood of centers across the United States. We have very, very, very big goals to grow into every single United State, and we really rely on the generosity of our supporters to do so. We have a beautiful virtual gala coming up October 6th, so if you want to join us, I will be hosting an evening of empowerment, our theme for that evening, October 26th. And you can learn more about that at guidingstarproject.com.
Yay. Oh, that sounds wonderful. You will be in my continued prayers. And I look forward to having you on again, Lisa. God bless. And that new little baby on the way.
You're the best. Thank you, friend.